My name's Justin Time. Today I'm going to talk about parental alienation. Parental alienation is a very much underreported and misunderstood phenomenon. And a lot of people, in fact most people, don't appear to realise that there is such a thing as parental alienation. Indeed, I didn't know it existed. I had no concept of it until it happened to me. So that in itself is, of course, perpetuating the problem of parental alienation. For those of you who are unfamiliar with parental alienation, this is where the custodial parent or the custodians, it may not be one of the parents, of a child has cut off all contact, will not allow contact, will not allow one of the parents to have access to their child. Now, as I said, some people are actually completely oblivious to the existence of parental alienation, and those of us who suffer from it have a major task in raising awareness and simply making people understand it exists, making people understand what it's all about. And of course, the biggest task of all that we face is getting access to our estranged children. So, why does it exist? What is it that causes a parent or the family or the custodians of a child to stop the other parent or to stop the rightful parent from having access to their child or their children? Well, yeah, that's a much debated issue. There's no one single answer. And we have to accept that each case is different. So there are common threads running through parental alienation, and there are also unique aspects to each case. So I'm being alienated from two of my children, and I've found some common threads with other people who are also being alienated, and there are of course unique aspects that I haven't yet found anyone that has experienced the same. But we all have similarities in our cases, and one of the commonalities of parental alienation, of course, is the severe emotional trauma that parental alienation causes. And another common aspect is the fact that a lot of parental alienation is in fact sanctioned by the state. There are laws, such as there are family laws, there is government and judicial, including the police, who are carrying out the law, of course. There are actions by the aforementioned that not only make it easy for a parent to commit alienation, but also they then allow that parent to continue the alienation within the law, and that's completely wrong. I'm speaking quite slowly because it's a very, very highly charged issue, and you know, I don't want to get too emotional over it because I've been going through it for long enough. I've been going through it for 8 years, And as I said, it's a very highly charged issue that people find very difficult to talk about. Indeed, I couldn't really talk about it. In fact, I couldn't even understand what was happening. I couldn't comprehend what was happening to me when I was denied contact, or I should say, let's look at it from both perspectives, when my children were denied access to me. Because it is not one-sided. This issue is not only about the alienated parent, it's about the children who are being denied access to one of their parents. And that is, I mean, it's just so totally wrong. There is nobody who can justify that. A loving, caring parent should be denied access to their children. There is never a case for that. It's mainly about revenge. It's mainly about malice. It's mainly about the custodial parent or the custodians, because sometimes they aren't actually one of the parents. Sometimes they are other family members. There are cases of grandparents, aunts, uncles, various extended family members. And in some cases there are adopting parents or foster parents who also alienate the rightful parent from their children. There is always an assumption, and this is where one of the biggest hurdles that an alienated parent must get over. And one of those is that there's this hurdle that of prejudice, that people assume that the alienated parent has done something wrong. They assume that the alienated parent deserves it. And it's quite shocking to hear people say such, you know, snide remarks about, oh, well, you must have done something wrong, or what did you do? And there's also the very sick and sinister suggestion that the alienated parent must be abusive, either towards the custodial parent or towards the children. And a lot of parental alienation is successful due to false accusations of abuse. And quite frankly, even if a custodial parent has been abused by the alienated parent, that is not a case to stop them seeing their children. But I actually, of all the people I've spoken to, I believe in the majority of cases, I'm not saying all cases because nobody knows for sure, but I believe in the majority of cases, and certainly in my case, the alienated parents are innocent of all accusations. There may be a perceived level of abuse in the mind of the alienator to justify their actions. But, and in fact these days, it's very sadly and tragically for society, there are laws that have moved the goalposts allowing alienated parents to be justifiably within the law cut off from their children. So this is, as I said, a very highly charged issue. I'm talking slowly. Well, one reason is I'm actually driving my car. You can hear some background noise, sorry about that. But also because it does choke me up sometimes, and it's a very difficult issue to talk about. And there are lots of us out there, and we are suffering, and our children are suffering by not having access to us.